I want to say thank you for the opportunity Stacy and I had last week to get away. Appreciate that. I had the opportunity to go to the Moody Bible Conference, Pastors Conference in Chicago the last week before we were gone. And it was good to be able to be there, be around other pastors, get to hear messages that spoke to my heart and spoke to my life. And so just have some time there to stop, to be still, even though it was busy. I was going from 8 in the morning till 8 at night. But even though it was busy, to have a little different, sometimes it's just different, and have that opportunity to be able to learn, to get poured into rather than being poured out. And so I appreciate that. I have a couple stories I'll tell you today from just the weekend when Stacy and I was there, and it applies towards what I'm going to be talking about today. We've been talking about out planting. I don't know, some of you guys have been up here and have seen there's some green stuff. Out planting. God gives us farming illustrations in the Bible that show us how to share His love, how to share God's love with others. Just like there's a process of planting seeds, of farming, there's New Testament also gives us a picture of evangelism. And over the last few weeks, I want to just do a quick recap, but over the last few weeks, we talked about that process and what that looks like. Part of the process that we learned is that we have a role that we need to do in the farming and the evangelism process. Our job is to plant and to water, and God gives the growth. God gives the growth, and we said there's two parts in that passage where it says, but God is the one who gives the growth. And sometimes we take that role on as our own, and we say, but I want to be the one. And that's not our role. Our job is to plant and to water. And we talked about what that looks like to plant and to water, to plant the seed. We also, over two different weeks, talked about what seed looks like. We talked that we are God's seed that have been planted. And we also talked about God's word being seed that can be planted in conversations so that we can tell others more about Him. Sometimes that's in quoting a verse. Sometimes that's in just knowing the Bible and saying, hey, you know what, but this says this. God's word says this. The process of planting, the process of evangelism. Sometimes it makes me nervous to talk to people, to share things about God's word. And they never know, because you're talking to people and you never know what's going to come up. One story I want to tell you guys was we decided when we went to Chicago that it's just easier to ride public transportation. So we got our little CTA, Chicago Transit Authority cards. We got our little cards and we put our money in and stuff, and we decided we were pretty much going to take the bus everywhere because there's the elevated train that kind of takes you around, but it really wasn't going close to what we wanted to go to. So we decided we're just going to start doing bus routes. Saturday, Chicago was having a Memorial Day parade. It's kind of threw everything off. We didn't know this because we're not from there, but they rerouted all the buses. So we got on the bus we thought we were supposed to get on, and we asked the driver, are you going here? Oh, no. I can't cross Michigan Ave. There's a parade going on today. And we said, oh, how do we get over there? Well, I can get you close, she says. You'll just have to walk. Just stay on the bus, and I'll let you know when to get off. Okay. So we're at kind of this bus terminal, and we're sitting there waiting, we're kind of unsure about what's going on, but there's another lady that gets on the bus. And conversations start to happen. Not that conversation, but a different one. We're just riding on the bus, and this lady gets on, and she starts talking to us. And she asked, why why are you guys in Chicago? She can tell we're tourists. We've got our phones out. We've got the app on it. We're trying to see where we're going. She can tell we're tourists. She said, why are you guys in Chicago? And I think Stacy said, well, my husband was here for a pastor's conference. And I'm just kind of sitting there, and she goes, pastor of what? I'd never been asked that before. I didn't know how to respond. I looked at Stacy like, I don't know what she's saying. And so I think Stacy finally said, well, what do you mean, pastor of what? She said, you're not a pastor of the devil, are you? I said, no. I said, I'm a Christian pastor. Oh, okay. She said, I'm a landlord, and I've had some pretty different people in some of my buildings. And so when you get into these conversations with people, you don't know. You don't know what's going to come out. You don't know how the conversation's going to proceed. And we got to talk with her kind of about why we were there and stuff. And, you know, maybe there's a little seed that was planted. I don't know. I don't know. But you get into these conversations. Now, we were in a specific type of field, and we'll talk about that today because we're going to talk about fields. So turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 4. There are necessary components to getting to a harvest. Those of you that plant gardens or those of you that are farmers and plant crops, there are necessary things. If you don't have seed, you're not going to have a harvest. The second part of that is if you don't have a field, you're not going to have a harvest, right? So if you had all the seed in the world and it was great seed, but you had nowhere to plant it, what good would that do you? It would just sit in your barn, right? Eventually, probably the mice would come in and start eating it or something. Like, it wouldn't do you a whole lot of good. You'd never get to the harvest. Because that's the point, right? Jesus said in John chapter 4, let me give you the context a little bit. John chapter 4, Jesus, the Pharisees are hearing that Jesus is doing some things, and so he departs Judea, and he heads towards Galilee, and the Bible tells us, it says right there in Scripture, he said, I need to go through Samaria. Now, you guys know, you've probably heard the story of the Samaritan woman. You know that Jews don't normally want to go through Samaria. It's actually the more direct route to go from Judea to Galilee is to go through Samaria, but they would oftentimes go around Samaria because they didn't like the Samaritans. They did not get along well together. They didn't necessarily have the same exact beliefs. In the conversation, you can see verse 20. She said, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where you people ought to worship. And so the Jews and the Samaritans didn't always agree on things. And so the Jews, when they had to travel, they would just go around Samaria. But Jesus said, I need to go through Samaria. Why did Jesus need to go through Samaria? I think it's because of the conversation he was going to have with this woman. He knew she was there. He knew that she was going to be getting water, and he was going to get to explain to her that he is the living water. And he knew the result of what was going to happen. But I want to look at one little phrase in John chapter 4, verse 35. The disciples come, and they'd gone in to get food and supplies, and they come out, and Jesus, they said, Rabbi, you should eat something. Verse 31, Jesus in verse 32 says, I have food to eat that you do not know about. And the disciples are like, where did he get the food? Did somebody come out and give him the food? Where did this food come from? They don't know. They don't have a clue. And so Jesus explains. Let's read verse 34, and then we'll get the context. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. Verse 39, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. I want to zoom in on verse 35 here. I want to take a look at it, and it says, do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? We're a few months away from harvest now. Do you not say, oh, there are 4 months and we're going to have a harvest? Jesus says, look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. There's other places in Scripture where we see this term fields as well. Jesus in Matthew 13, he was spelling out one of his parables, and he said, the field is the world. This world where we live, this is the field. In 1 Corinthians 3, that passage we looked at where it says, Apollos, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the growth. Right after that, Paul writes, for we are God's fellow workers. You, Corinthians, he's writing to the Corinthians, you, Corinthians, are God's field. The Corinthians were Paul's field, where he was planting the seed. He said, you are God's field, God's building. You are the place that got planted and watered. You are the field. In the book of Acts, Jesus is getting ready to leave, and the disciples start asking some questions. When is this going to happen, basically, is what they ask. And Jesus said that. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Are you coming back? Are you going to reign? Are you going to fulfill all of the Old Testament prophecies that were written? Are you going to be the king? Is that what's going to happen? Because that's what they expected. He hadn't done that. He had died on a cross. That threw everything for them upside down. But they said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? This is Jesus' response. It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But here's what I do want to tell you. Here's the important things. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You'll be my witnesses to Jerusalem. Okay, we're in Jerusalem. That's not a big deal. We can do that, Jesus. You'll be my witnesses in Judea. Okay, a little bit of a trip, but not bad. We can travel up to Napanee. That's not too far away. We can do that. You'll be my witnesses in Samaria. Indianapolis? You want us to go to Indianapolis for you? That's a little bit farther, and there's maybe some people there. You want us to go to Chicago for you? Like, we're there to have fun. You mean we have to have conversations with people while we're there? Like, Samaria and to the end of the earth. That's a little bit harder for them conceptually to figure out. They could think about, okay, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. We know those. Some people we like, some people maybe we don't like. But the ends of the earth. Jesus says this message is going to spread. The fields that I want you guys to focus on is Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And the same thing goes for us as Christians here today. God has fields that he's placed us in. Warsaw, Etna Green, Napanee, Bremen, Bourbon, Plymouth, Tippecanoe. God has placed us in fields to be his seed, but also to spread his word, which is the seed. Sometimes we get to go places, like we got to go to Chicago and spread God's word there. Just because we're on vacation doesn't mean God's mandate ends. So here's a map just to give you an idea. Jerusalem. was the city. Judea was the larger context. Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Just to give you kind of an idea. And Jesus was traveling kind of from Judea there up to Galilee. And so you can see that he went straight through basically Samaria there. In fact, traveled the paths and followed the way there. So what is a field? What is a field? What are we talking about? A field is two different things. A field can be a place you spend your time. Maybe you spend your time at work. Maybe you spend your time going to school. Maybe you spend your time outside in your yard doing yard work. A field is where you spend your time. Secondly, a field is where you see a person or people again. A field is where you see a person or people again. So you may have a contact that's regular in terms of a relationship, but it's irregular in forms of time. So maybe you take your vehicle somewhere to get the oil changed. If you don't take your vehicle somewhere to get the oil changed, maybe you go somewhere to buy the oil, to change the oil in your vehicle, but you have something that you do as a standard kind of format. Let's say it's going to change the oil in your vehicle. You go to the same place every time. Maybe you have contact with the same people every time, but you don't know when the next 3,000 miles is going to come up. So that time is irregular. But the people you may see are regular. Because generally people work at these places, and maybe you get to know them. Maybe you get to know their names and who they are and that kind of stuff as you interact with them. It's a place where you spend your time and you see a person or people again. Some of those are very regular. Your job, if you go to work every day, you see the same people every day. If you go shopping, you tend to go to shopping at the same places. You tend to start seeing familiar faces. And so these are the places where you spend your time. These are places where your field is. So let me define them just a little bit more. There's four different types of fields I want to talk about today. There's four different types of fields. The first one is an ongoing field. It's an ongoing field. It's a place, like I was talking about, where you're there day in, day out. School's a great example. You go to school. You have to go to school Monday through Friday. You're there every day, unless you have to miss for some reason. Day in, day out. It's an ongoing field. You see people. You have people in your classes. You see them every day. You talk to them. You have teachers. You see these teachers every day. If you're bad, you see the principal every day. Hopefully you don't do that. But you have ongoing fields. You have ongoing relationships. The second one is periodic fields. That's what I was talking to you about. Sometimes, ladies, if you go and get your hair done somewhere, most ladies want to go to the same beautician every time so that they know what they like and know what. And so they build a relationship. It's a periodic field, but it's not like you're going there every day. You're going there every however often it is ladies go to get their hair done. I don't know. Whatever that is. Momentary fields. This was my experience in Chicago. I had a lot of momentary fields. You're in the elevator with somebody. You go in and you hit the button. You go up a floor, and somebody else comes in. You're like, hi, how's it going? Good. They hit their button. Then you start going up, and you're waiting, and so you have these momentary fields. We were on a bus, and we had momentary fields where we could talk to people, very short time, people you may never see again, but God still placed you in this field for you to share his word, for you to share his love. Momentary fields sometimes can look like a store that you go to when you're going shopping. You go through a line and you talk to a person rather than going through the automated checkout. You actually talk to a human being. And you go through the line and you have a conversation with them. That's a momentary field. We also have social media fields. These aren't a field that really existed 10 years ago. Probably 10 or 15 years ago, social media fields wouldn't have existed. But now we have the opportunity, because we have an audience online, to make that a field as well and impact people for Christ. So there are four types of fields: ongoing fields, periodic fields, momentary fields, and social media fields. What would happen if we did the exact same thing in every field? When farming, what would happen if I took a seed that wasn't meant for the type of soil that I was supposed to put it in and placed it in there? If I wanted to grow coconuts in my backyard, would that work? Would it grow? It's not really the right climate to grow coconuts, right? My parents grow some fruit trees on their property, but they even struggle because it's not really the right climate. It's not the right field to place that seed in. The seed is perfectly good. There's no problem with the seed. And the soil, there's no problem with the soil. But it's the wrong seed for the right soil. And so we have to be careful about how we work in each of the fields. We need to change our strategy based on the field we're going to be in. We can't treat people the same in an ongoing field as we can in a periodic or momentary field. Let me give you a short example of that. If I were to, I worked at an adult daycare, and I drove the bus in the morning and the afternoon and brought people into the daycare and then took them home. If I were to go in there, a secular place, every day and tell them, "You're a sinner, you need Jesus," how long do you think I would last there? Probably not real long. So that's an ongoing field, so it's going to take it's going to have different challenges than, let's say, a periodic field. An ongoing field, you have to watch more for opportunities. I've told you before, I was driving down the road, and one of my the people I worked alongside of was riding with me, and he just happened to catch the pickup bed of a truck. Somebody had spray painted on there just the reference, Romans 10:9. Somebody just painted it on there. He looks at me, knowing that I've gone to seminary, knowing who I am. He looks at me and says, "What's Romans 10:9? And I said, "Well, it says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved." And he said, "Do you know all the Bible like that?" And I said, "Absolutely not." But I said, "That's one that I've had to memorize." God gave me an opportunity there. Romans 10:9 is the gospel. He just asked me, "What is the gospel?" He asked me, "Tell me about the gospel." He didn't know he was asking that. But did God give me that opportunity? Yes. Did I know the seed at that point? Yes. Was that the right field to do it in? Yes. Because it was kind of coming from him. And so as you build these relationships, family is an ongoing field. Some of you have loved ones who aren't saved. And if you talk to them every time you see them and try to force Jesus into their lives, they're going to reject it. And so it takes time, and it takes a process, and it takes prayer for those ongoing fields. Periodic fields are the same way. It's about building a relationship. Maybe you go to a restaurant. Let's say Friday night, you throw out a restaurant. Applebee's. You like to go to Applebee's every Friday night. You tend to have the same waitress every Friday night. You get to know her. You find out her name. And then somewhere down the road, three or four Friday nights later, you say, "You know, I've met you and we've had some conversations, but we're Christians and we like to pray. Is there something we could pray for you about?" People are open to that. It's amazing. You ask them if they want prayer, people are like, well, a lot of people are like, yeah, yeah, I, I got this situation. Just like this church, this family has situations with people who have medical things and things going on. People out there have situations too, just as bad, if not worse. You know what? I've got this situation. I'd love some prayer for that. Now, I am horrible at remembering things. So maybe you need to keep a little journal. Like, oh, I went to Applebee's Friday night and I talked with Heather. And Heather is going through a rough time with her family right now. And that's what we prayed about. Then the next time, next Friday night, you're going to go back and maybe you don't see Heather that night. Maybe she's not there. She's not working on a Friday night. She got a week off. So the next week you go back and she's there and you say, hey, how are things going? How are things going with you? I've been praying for you. And don't just say that, actually do it. I've been praying for you. How are things going? That's how a periodic field works. Momentary fields, you never know. You never know. You just kind of have to be ready and kind of have to go with the flow on momentary fields. I'm not good at that, but sometimes God gives me these opportunities. Social media, let me say this, be careful in social media. Everything you say on social media is public. Even if you mean it for private, everything you say on social media is public. Just make sure you're being loving and caring on social media, because God calls us to love first, I think. And so make sure you're being loving as you're talking to people. And maybe God will give you opportunities to share the gospel in those times. There's a couple different steps for analyzing or approaching your different fields. One is to identify a field. I talked to you, I gave you the Applebee's illustration with Heather. Identify your field. Maybe you just write it out. Okay, this is my field. This is where God has called me. Maybe it's your neighborhood. Maybe you say, you know what? I'm a stay-at-home mom. My field is going to be my neighborhood. That's where I am most of the time. I'm with kids. Whatever it is, you have to identify your field. Second, you have to analyze your field. Because, again, there's different types of soil. And different types of soil are going to take different types of a process. So there are some examples of fields in our community. Some of them I've talked about. Places where you work, places where you shop, places where you eat. If you go to school, places where you go to school, your neighborhoods. There's all sorts of examples. If you can think of a place, your beauty shop, your car repair place, whatever it is, like God gives us these opportunities to have these different places as fields. I want to look at a couple verses in Acts. So go with me over to Acts chapter 17. This is the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 17, verses 16 through 33. I want you to just kind of hear what's going on here. Paul is going into Athens. Athens was a place of very diverse culture, all sorts of, they worshipped all sorts of different gods. There was just this everything goes, basically, in Athens. So Paul is waiting for Silas and Timothy to come to him. Now, while Paul was waiting for them, referring back to Silas and Timothy at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him, and some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" I love it when the Bible inserts things in there. "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities," because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.'" The Athenians, they didn't want to leave anybody out. So they just said, "We're going to make an idol to the unknown God. If there is one out there, just want him to be worshipped." Paul says this, "What therefore you worship is unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods in the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.'" Verse 29, "Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, 'We will hear you again about this.' So Paul went out from their midst. But some men joined him and believed." And it tells about a couple of those who did believe. Paul meets the people where they're at. He says, "I walked among you. I walked in your culture. I saw what you were worshiping, and you have an idol that's to the unknown God. Let me tell you about the God that you don't know." And then he doesn't use all of Scripture. He says, "Let me tell you, this is God created all. This is the God that you're trying, that you should be worshiping. God created everything. He made man out of one man. He made all of humanity out of one man, Adam." And he begins to tell about who Jesus was and that Jesus was resurrected to show God's power. And then he gives a couple of brief quotes. One of them is their own poetry, "For we are indeed his offspring." You look at that there? That's not quoting Scripture. That's quoting their poetry at the time. And so Paul is meeting the people where they are at. He's analyzing this field in Athens. He doesn't just go in and say, "Repent or you're going to perish." Think about Jonah in the Old Testament. God told Jonah to go. Jonah said, "No, I don't want to go. I don't like those people. If I go there, you're going to save them." And so Jonah jumps in a boat, gets swallowed by a whale, gets spit up on shore, finally says, "Okay, God, I get it. I need to go." He travels to Nineveh. He goes in, "Repent, repent, or God's going to destroy your city. Repent, or God's going to destroy your city." All of a sudden, the Ninevites are like, "Oh no, God's going to destroy our city. We need to take this seriously." They take off their clothes, they put on ashes, and they actually repent. That was the worst message ever, Jonah. But God had prepared the field for the message. So analyzing the field is part of the process. Another conversation I had, I had with an older lady in Chicago. We were at Millennium Park. If you've ever been to Chicago, Millennium Park is a very large area. There were lots of festivals going on. Again, this was Saturday, Memorial Day. And we get on the bus, like we waited 10 or 15 minutes for the bus, and it was 10 or 15 minutes late. And we're waiting for this bus, and there's an older lady sitting there, and she says, we're in one part of the park. She wants to go like a block and a half on the bus just because she has a hard time walking, and it was big crowds and everything. So she's waiting there for us 10 or 15 minutes to go a block and a half. And so we start talking a little bit while we were sitting there, but then we get on the bus and we're sitting in traffic. It takes us 10 or 15 minutes to go a block and a half. And so I start talking to her about, "Hey, what have you been doing today?" And she tells me that she watched the parade go on, and now she's just kind of checking out Millennium Park, and she lives there in the city. And then she makes this comment I'm going to go to temple tonight. And I said, oh, what kind of temple? She said, well, it's a Hindu temple. Oh, okay. All right, a Hindu temple. And I said, so do you normally meet on Saturdays? I don't know. I'm asking a question. Questions are great. Do you normally meet on Saturdays? Well, actually, no, we don't normally meet on Saturdays. But once in a while, we do a Saturday night. The church, the temple does a Saturday night thing where we all get together and we have some food and we pray and we sing some songs and stuff. And I'm like, that sounds a lot like church. And so I'm kind of trying to feel who this person is. I'm trying to get an idea about who she is. Now, it was at that time she got off the bus and she left. Did I get a chance to plant a seed there? Not really. I got a chance to talk to her. I got a chance to find out who she was. Maybe I got a chance to find out a little bit about who a Hindu is. The next time I come across somebody who's Hindu, I could be like, do you guys meet on Saturday nights too once in a while and do a big thing, or is that just Chicago people? Like, I would have something. So it's a learning process. Even momentary fields, you're not going to always get a chance to plant a seed. Sometimes you're just going to get a chance to listen to somebody. Sometimes Stacy had the opportunity. She was dropping off our car. She took the train over from South Bend over to Chicago, just easier. Again, she didn't have to drive in traffic. She was dropping off our car. She got a chance to pray with the lady, or pray for the lady that was helping her do that. You never know. These momentary instances, are you going to get a chance to speak truth into those situations or not? Let me give you, as we finish up this morning, there's a tool that you can use. And I told you, sometimes I have a hard time starting conversations with people. They get in the elevator after you, or you get in the elevator, and you don't really know what to say beyond, hi, sure is some nice weather we have out there. And that's where it ends. There's a tool called the FRUMS, and I was taught this as a young student. But the FRUMS are just topics that you can start conversations with. The first one is family. So you start talking to somebody, and hey, tell me about your family. Did you always grow up here? Is your family close by? A couple simple questions. Recreation. People are open to saying, hey, what do you enjoy doing? I just started asking random questions in Chicago because I could. And nobody knows me, and so it's easier sometimes in those places. And so one of my questions, we were going out Saturday night, we were having dinner, and every person that walked up to our table, I asked them this question. If you weren't working here tonight, what would you be doing? If you weren't at your job, a couple of them were like, oh, I might be home resting, or I might be doing this, or I might be going out with friends, or I think you, it would be like, some of them were like, oh, are you looking for something to do? And I was like, no, I just want to know what would you be doing if you weren't working here tonight? And so that gave me an idea. That's kind of a recreation. Like, hey, what are things that you enjoy doing? Occupation. Where do you work? What do you do? One of the people got on the bus, and eventually it came up that she was a student. And so we talked to her. She was getting her master's in business, which Stacy's sister just graduated with. And so they made a little connection. We're having a conversation, and it kind of came up. That's what she does. And so we talked to her, who she was living in Chicago. Favorite memory. What is your favorite thing about where you live? What is your favorite memory as you grew up? What is your favorite whatever? And then spiritual. This one's more used with caution. But sometimes people bring up spiritual things. The lady who said that she's a Hindu, she brought that up on her own. And if I'd had more time, maybe I could have talked with her a little bit more and kind of said, hey, what do you believe about this? And kind of told her what I believe and those kinds of things. But you have to be cautious with that. But those are each things that people are usually willing to just talk about, the FRUMS. So ask yourself this question, where are my fields? The truth is we all have a field and it's out those doors. Our field is out there, wherever you live, that is part of your field. Where you work, that's part of your field. On the back of your handout today, I gave you adopting a field. This is something that I learned about, and maybe it doesn't. It says choose a restaurant. It doesn't have to be a restaurant. Maybe it's the place you shop. Maybe, again, it's somewhere else. But this is just kind of examples. But choose a restaurant. Pray for the workers before you go to the restaurant. Go and enjoy the food and the atmosphere. Allow the love of Jesus to flow through your smile, eyes, and conversation. Ask your server for his or her name. Use their name throughout the meal. Tell them your name. Compliment them for doing a good job. Leave a good tip. Go back to your adopted restaurant. Greet the server by name. Continue to get to know them. Keep going back again. Planting and watering, planting and watering. It takes time and relationship. In time, God's time, ask your server for prayer requests. Pray for your server while you're there. And regularly plant and water, and plant and water, and plant and water. So remember this, be purposeful in your fields. God has planted you there for a reason. Be purposeful where God has planted you. God has planted you in these fields to be light. Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. God has planted you in these fields to be light. So as you go into these places, as you go into your normal routine, your normal week, your normal day, think about, why did God put me here? Who am I going to have the opportunity to impact today? And then if you have an opportunity to adopt a field, it'd be good to try to do that. Let me pray for us this morning. Father, you have planted us in fields. God, we don't always understand why. God, we don't always know what we're supposed to do once we're in those fields. But God, I pray that you would direct us. God, give us courage when we need courage to speak to those who we come into contact with. Give us wisdom to know what to say. Give us the ability to understand people, God, because it's about people. And because we care about people and we want to see them have a relationship with you. Father, you said, open your eyes and look, for the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And so, Father, may you use us as the workers to go out and plant the seed and water. Help us to listen to your voice when it speaks to us. Help us to listen to your spirit so that we can follow the works you've placed for us ahead of time, the divine appointments you've given to us. Father, I pray that we would make the most of each of those. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.